Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Been a good place to be this morning. If you miss Sunday school, you miss Sunday school. You can learn a lot from coming to Sunday school. Sometimes the Lord just gets in the way and you don't get to go to Sunday school. But I fully intend that He has you here for a reason this morning. I fully expect Him to do something. Had to step out of my comfort zone this week, and I don't call a lot and say, hey, I need to come. But I listened to, I guess it was Tuesday morning, I listened to the service from Sunday night, and it was titled Better Safe Than Sorry, and I don't title a lot of stuff. That's just not what I do, but I was listening, and it was like the Lord just sat down in my passenger seat, and He said, it's better saved than sorry. Better saved than sorry. And He started just bringing Scripture to my heart, and I got home, and I wrote a little bit down, and I don't usually do that either, and He said, he was pretty clear with me, and He said, you go to New Providence Sunday morning. So I messaged Tommy, and I asked him, and I just said, I feel like I need to come, and He said, you're welcome, you come on. So I expect there to be somebody here this morning that needs to find Jesus. You may have sat in church your whole life. You may be a deacon. You may be a preacher. You may be song leader. You might be anything to everybody. But if you're not anything to Jesus Christ, you're going to die and go to hell. And I have never been here on a Sunday morning, to the best I know. So you can look at me and say, you don't know that I was going to be here. And I don't know who was going to be here, but I do know that Jesus Christ said, you go to New Providence on Sunday morning, and you tell them you must be born again. We can do everything we want in the church, and we can have everybody fooled, but there's going to come a day that we're going to stand before God Himself, and He's going to look at us and say, depart from me, I never knew you. If you'll turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 10. And we'll just kind of bounce from there, maybe verses 3 through 11. And then we're going to bounce around a little bit, maybe, if that's how God sees fit. But don't think that I'm in the way. If God's already told you, you ain't going to hurt my feelings. I'll close it up, and I'll sit down, and I'll let you handle business with God if that's what He wants. But I fully intend on Him to do something here this morning. And I came trusting that He would do something. If you don't move this morning, I believe you're going to be the most miserable person when you go home until you finally surrender to Him. Verse 3 in 2 Peter chapter 1 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are we given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, again we come before you again. Lord, we're trusting in you this morning. God, nothing that we can do that is going to do anything unless you're in it, Lord. And we ask, God, that your Spirit would bear witness with these people, Lord, that somebody here today, Lord, needs to find a Savior. And God, there's no other way to heaven except by you. And we love you, we praise you, we give you honor, and we ask you to open our hearts up to this word right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The thought that I come with is pretty clear from the time we started this morning all the way up until now, that God's grace is running after you. Again, I had no intentions on being here. If you would have asked me Monday, I would have planned on being at my church and teaching Sunday school this morning and going through the processes that we go through. And you might say, well, that's because you're in a program. It's just, we all get that way sometimes where we expect to do certain things when we come to church. But when Jesus Christ spoke to me and said, you go down there, I fully intend that it is somebody that Jesus Christ, His grace, is running after you this morning. That you have run, maybe you've been born again. And then right here it says, brethren. In other words, He's speaking to the brothers and to the church. And He's saying, maybe you've run a little too far. Maybe you've gotten a little out of the way and you have forgotten what your calling is. Maybe you've forgotten what God done for you. And it's time to come home. It's time to quit playing church, quit going through the motions, quit showing up on Sunday morning, already having plans for Sunday night, already having plans for Wednesday night, and say, Lord, I want you to do something more in my life. See, there has to be a desire there. I think we've gotten into a place where the church today doesn't love the brethren like it should. And if we don't love the brethren, I find it hard that how can you love Christ and not love the body of Christ? How can you love Him and long for a relationship with Him, but yet we don't love the body of Christ? We've forsaken the body of Christ. We've walked away from it. We've chosen the world more than the body of Christ. And we've chosen the worldly things more than His goodness and His mercy and His grace and His will in our life. Instead, we'd rather chase after all the worldly stuff. We'd rather fill our souls with all the filth that's going on in this world rather than running to Him and saying, I need to make sure, Lord, I need to make sure that I'm who You say I am, that I'm following after You, that I'm longing for You, that I have a real relationship with You. We go through the motions. We play church a lot. We do all this stuff that we think we need to do to get everybody else's approval. But when that time comes that you are to die, the Bible says, after this, the judgment. When that judgment day comes, it ain't gonna matter what your husband thinks, your sister thinks, your brother thinks, your wife thinks, your mom and dad think. It ain't going to matter in that day. There's only one that's going to matter. And He's going to be standing before you, and He's going to hand out righteous judgment to His people. And we're going to sit there, and we're going to have to acknowledge. The Bible says that when He names everything, we're going to say amen to our own sin. Amen to our own sin. In other words, I have no complaints. I have no arguments. I have no excuses, God. You're right. I've done this. There's people sitting in church today all across this country. But even right here, they're sitting right here saying, well, I come to church on Sunday morning. Hard excuse when we stand before God and look at Him and say, but I came to church on Sunday morning, God. And He says, and you never surrendered to me. You never gave your life for me. You never set yourself aside and took my beloved Son, and who died for you, took His blood and bore His blood and showed Him as the light of the world. You never done those things. You sat in church your whole life, but you never truly surrendered to my Son. You never, when He called your name, you never surrendered your life to Him. There's people that go through processes. I've heard testimony after testimony of, oh, well, you know, my friend talked me into going, and I went up there and I said what the preacher told me to say, and I raised my hand and I signed his card, and all that ain't gonna get you to heaven. I don't care if your daddy's the head of the Baptist Association. It ain't going to get you to heaven because you do what He says. What's going to get you to heaven is when Jesus Christ speaks your name and you say, I'm done with religion. I'm done with games. I'm done with everything else. I need Jesus. See, if you look through the Bible, God hated religion. God hated religion from the time He sent His Son. And they practiced. They looked at God. They looked at Jesus Himself and said, you're a blasphemer to our religion. You are not who you say you are, because our religion says this. The Jewish, there's a majority of Jewish people today that still sit and say, we are looking for the Messiah, because our Messiah could not be a bloody sacrifice of a king. There has to be one still coming. Their religion is taking them straight to hell. But there's no difference in them and us that sit in church Sunday after Sunday saying the church roll is what's going to get me to heaven. I've been on that church roll for 47 years. My grandparents were founding members and this and that. It ain't going to get us to heaven. There has to come a point where we look and say, I'm done playing games. I'm done with religion. Let me have Jesus. See, I found Christianity one day. I lost the religion aspect of it, of going to church because that's what good adults done. If I'm not mistaken, that's part of Natalie's testimony, is when I got older and I was an adult and had kids, I was going to have to go to church because that's what we done. But then it become real to her when Jesus spoke to her that night and said, this ain't enough to get you there. You must be born again. The Bible says you must be born again. To the most religious of people standing before him, Nicodemus looked at him and said, what must I do to inherit heaven? A man that knew the scripture like the back of his hand. And he looked at him and said, what do I have to do to get there? And he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. So I'm looking at us this morning, and does anybody know that book from cover to cover? No. I ain't there. No. I ain't there and probably never will be. And you know what he looked at me one morning? He knocked on my heart. As of yesterday, it was 10 years ago yesterday, but he spoke my name.
Yep.
Knocked on my heart and he said, you must be born again. He didn't say, you got to know this from cover to cover. You got to do everything that everybody agrees to. He said, you must be born again. He said, you must accept my son as your Savior. And that's what I done 10 years ago yesterday. Had I still been studying the Bible, trying to learn every scripture and put it in my heart, I'd still be lost. Had I been trying to fulfill the make my dad and mom proud by sitting in church every Sunday, I'd still be lost. But Jesus Christ walked by that day and he said, you're lost and you need a Savior. And I'm the only one that can get you there. And I was just foolish enough that day to stand up and say, I got to get out of here. And I ran to an altar and he met me there.
Amen.
Why? Because his grace, just like we've talked about all morning, his goodness was running after me that day. I was trying my best to run away from him, but yet he come looking for me. In Philippians 2 verse 12, it says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandparents, who was. It does not matter. What it matters is that you know that you know. There's people, there is no doubt in my mind, every church across this county, I heard a preacher quote it one time that he believes that 75% of church members in the Baptist church are lost and going to hell. Another preacher said, no, I think it's more like 50. But that old preacher's about 87 years old, and he said, now that I've sat back and looked, I believe that 75 was right the first time. How scary is that, that 75% of people that are sitting in church on a church roll may be lost and going to hell? And we look at that and we can pick around in our little group and we say, well, I don't think so. I can pick some out that I believe are good, godly people. I can pick enough out to cover 75% here and say, I don't believe these people are going, but there's some of you I don't know. There's some people I don't know. And that's not on a spiritual level. That's saying, just personally, I don't know you. So it's hard for me to sit up here and say, I know you're going. I know you're going. I'll say this, I've been here. Yeah. I've been at this church. And there's faces I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And when I can look back and see faces that I haven't seen that don't love him on Wednesday night, I find it hard to believe that we really love him on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're in that condition, it's time that we seek out and really figure out our own salvation. Find that out within ourselves. Matthew 22:14 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go therein at. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that enter that find it. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death.
Amen.
Again, church membership seems right. And growing up, I grew up in a godly home once my mom and dad got saved. And I watched my grandparents. My grandfather was a deacon of a missionary Baptist church in Cates Cove. My grandmother was a member there. They were founding members of Ridgeview Missionary Baptist Church. And that got me nowhere.
That's right.
I went to an, and let me make this clear. When I was 7 years old, I went to an altar and I cried.
Yeah.
And that got me nowhere.
Yeah.
I was 7 years old and I cried. And a lot of people say, boy, I went down there crying. That don't mean nothing. The Bible says, lest he that sent me draws you.
Right.
There is no salvation.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So I'm asking you to do more than cry. I'm asking you to seek out your own self. Figure out where you are and where you line up with God and what His Word says. And let's not just worry about crying so that everybody sees us. I've seen a lot of people chew bubble gum and cry crocodile tears at the same time and get up and never change. But the Bible says, we said it this morning, the Bible says that once you go down and you come back up, there will be a new creature standing there.
Amen.
Old things will pass away. Behold, all new things begin. There is no salvation unless there is a change that's made. And if we find ourselves going back into the same mess time and time again and flirting with the same worldly, fleshly stuff time and time again, it's time that we truly set ourselves down and say, am I what I say I am? Because what I say I am is not going to matter when I get there. It's what He says that I am. And when I stand before Him, I am going believing on August the 31st, 2014, that when I surrendered my life to Him, that when I get there, He's going to stand up and say, that one's mine. That one is mine. But why do I know that? Because there's something that lives inside of me that's bigger than I am. For one, He's much bigger than I am. He says that is inside of you is bigger than he that is of the world. So therefore, something inside of me swells up when I do wrong. And He says, you don't belong in this mess. You better get yourself out of this mess. You better get back to me before you get yourself in trouble. And if that's not there, you don't have it. You don't have it. We can fill up every church pew in this country. We can put our name on every roll. We can be baptized in every river from here to the Mississippi. But if there's not somebody living inside of you that says, you're doing wrong and you better straighten up, you don't have it. There's an instruction that's there. There's guidance that comes with that. He said that when He went away, that He would leave the Holy Spirit so that it would guide us and direct our footsteps. Why is that? Because I am not good. I cannot do good without that lives inside of me, that dwells on the inside from the day that I got saved, that says, son, you're better than that. You walk away from that. You get out of that mess. Without Him speaking to me, I'd be lost. And if you don't hear His voice speak to you, you're lost. I'll tell you, I had to swallow some crow on this, because I'll just be honest, ever since I got called to preach, I feel like I preached to the church a lot. And then when He gave me this, He said, you're going to preach to somebody that's lost. Somebody that's lost and needs a Savior. Somebody that has practiced religion your whole life. Your whole life. And you may be on the verge of death right now. You don't even know. And Jesus Christ found enough grace to talk to a little boy heading down Chapman Highway and say, you go down there and you tell them, I'm still running after Him. My grace is still efficient.
Amen.
My grace will get you through if you just surrender to me. If you quit playing games with God and you give your life to Him, He promises that He will take you from here to eternity.
Amen.
He says, I will go with you even unto the end. When nobody else is there to stand for you at that judgment, Jesus Christ is going to stand for you and say, that's one of mine. There is going to be no family there to take you out. There is no purgatory like the Catholics believe, where you're going to die and we're going to pray you into heaven off of your goodness that you've done down here. The Bible says there ain't none good. No, not one but the Father. My goodness ain't what's going to get me to heaven. The only way I'm going to heaven is because Jesus Christ spoke my name and I surrendered my life to Him. And you're here this morning. There's not a doubt in my mind that you're here this morning. If not, I wouldn't be here. Would not have come. Had no reason to need to be here. Until He said, you go down there. Somebody's playing games with me. Somebody's playing religion. They're playing church. And they're lost. And they need a Savior. You may be here and it might be your first time here this morning. And you may be saying, I don't know what all this is about. There's only one thing it's about, and it's Jesus Christ. And I went down that day not knowing what it was all about. And 10 years later, I'm standing here and tell you, I still don't know what it's all about. But He's still teaching me. He's still with me. He's still helping me. He's still growing me. Don't sit here and go home lost. I'm not into fear tactics and all that. I ain't going to try to convince you that you're going to die on your way home, but I ain't going to try to convince you that you ain't either. I'm not, I don't know. I don't know what the future is. The one I serve knows the future. And He has all of that in control. And you know more than I know. I don't have a clue who I'm talking to. But I know that there's somebody here that is just hearing this and saying, I don't want to get out. What are they going to think of me? You ever heard that from somebody that they've sat in church their whole life? And they said, what are they going to think of me if I get up? We had a Sunday school teacher at our church got saved. Come to church the next Sunday morning and said, I need to tell everybody something. I need to apologize to you. I've been living a lie for the last 2 years. I've been teaching Sunday school and I've been lost. But she had to get to a place to where she let pride out of her way. And she said, it doesn't matter what they think anymore. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get born again, because if not, they're all going to think I was good. And then I'm not going to be there.
That's right.
They're all going to think that I taught their kids Sunday school. And then I'm not going to get there. I'd be scared to death to be in that situation this morning. I believe that we're knocking on the door of His second coming. If He's going to step out on the clouds one day. And I believe we are knocking on the doorstep of that. And we sit in church and we think, it's not time. It's not time. But that it is time. It's time to get our pride out of the way. It's time to get ourself out of the way. It's time to get our family out of the way. Because there's nothing they can do for you when that day comes. If you're lost this morning, there's no better time than now to come. I honestly believe that God's grace was running after somebody. That He said, Sammy, you go down there and you tell them that I'm still here and I'm still wanting to save them. That I'm giving them another chance. Maybe He's called on you before. And you've said, nope, I'm good in my church pew. I'm not moving. And He's saying, I'm coming by one more time. I'm going to give you one more chance. Don't ask who your mama is, who your daddy is, who your husband is, what their position is in the church, what your position is in the church. It's what your position is in Jesus Christ. There's no shame in surrendering your life to God. I don't care if you've been the ideal Christian for 40 years and you know inside, sitting here right now, you know, I'm not who they think I am. I'm not doing what they think I'm doing. I live a life in front of them that's this, but on the other side, I'm living this and I'm far away from God. There's no time like the presence to fix it. I assure you, your church will come around, hug your neck, and say, welcome into the family of God. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for coming to Him. Thank you for surrendering your life to Him. The biggest game the devil plays on people is he sits in a church pew beside them and says, they're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to call you a liar. They're going to call you everything under the sun. When in all reality, God's people are sitting begging that His people would come back and those that are lost would come find Him. I leave you with that this morning. I trust that somebody here needed to hear that. And I trust that you'll move. And if you don't move, I believe there's a seed planted. And God's going to do a work in you that like Brother Coy Adams says, I hope you go home and pee the bed tonight. You're so uncomfortable. That's funny, but at the same time, we need to get uncomfortable. We need to get ourselves embarrassed enough that our pride will get out of the way. And I'll leave you with that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Come get a song. I'm going to give an invitation tonight. This morning, I'm going to read something. What Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, chapter 4 of Revelation, was an invitation. This is how He would end that before that particular book would change altogether. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. See, what does it take for me to be saved? Open the door. I got saved when I was 9 years old. I promise you, it wasn't hard. Being born again is not complex, but it is absolutely transforming. It wasn't what I did that day. It was what He did in me. Listen, what Jesus has said from the beginning until now is come. coming. You don't have to go to heaven. All right? That is a choice. And when the Holy Spirit of God deals with your soul and you realize that you're lost, you have to make that choice. And you have to receive Christ or you have to reject Christ. It's one or the other. Well, I'm not going to do either today. No, if you don't accept Christ, you have rejected Him. It's a simple, simple plan. God sent His Son to die for you. And in order for you to be saved through the gift that was given by God, you have to be born again. You have to receive that gift. We can't make you be saved, but we'll bid you come. Christ said, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Doesn't make any difference. If you're on your way to hell, I got a feeling you don't care what people think anymore. When I really got lost, it didn't matter to me. I was going to get to Jesus one way or the other. Thank God my name's there. If yours is not, we're going to sing. I'll pray with you. Everybody will pray. But the question is, do you want to go to heaven or not go to heaven? If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, it's your turn. Come to Him. Stand as we sing.